For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No man, diamonds on my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slime. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 282 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Mal in the building, and Prime. And today we are talking the quarterback position. Obviously, the season's almost here. Newsflash. So we're gonna start talking about the position groups. I know obviously everyone's excited about Jalen Hurts. Obviously, people are excited about anything Eagles. You go anywhere in Philadelphia, everyone wants to talk about Eagles. Everyone's forgot about the Sixers, F the Flyers. And in the Phillies, it's the kind of thing you put on TV, but they're on a streak right now. The Eagles are back. Eagles are back, baby. And I feel like they're, you know, they have the right quarterback right now to right the ship. I'm going to say, like, right now there's a vibe going on in Philly. And in this locker room, I feel like Jalen Hurts is commanding the ship. And right now it's a wait and see. But I'm feeling positive as we go into this, you know, this position here. How are you guys feeling, Ev?
I mean, you laid the groundwork right there, Gail. We got football right around the corner. I could start to smell it. You know, you see little glimpses of practice that pop onto the timeline. It just gets you excited. But I think that, you know, we're going to be going through this entire team position by position and just breaking it down with pretty much every single guy on the roster. And obviously, quarterback is the most important position on the football field. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. And honestly, like, when was the last time we haven't had a polarizing quarterback in this city? I really am at a loss for the last polarizing QB. Like, what was the last time everybody was on board with one quarterback? And the vast majority. I know. Never. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. When did
– Never in the history.
Are you going to get us to mention – Like, you guys don't want to mention the name. No, come on. What's going on?
Who?
Look, you say, the father right above you?
Who? That ginger dude that broke the locker room it had from day one?
Stop. Don't start. Right?
I ain't think so. I ain't think you was talking about him.
No, I agree, man. I'm excited. You know, we're closer to football. Ooh. But talking about Jalen, I mean, hey, he's the man. He's in that position to go ahead and lead, you know, ride it out. Like Gail said, you know, he's taking control of the ship. He looks good. Seeing him in person for the past, you know, couple weeks and the last few months and all that stuff, you see that he's bulked up. Like, he's getting in shape. He's ready to go. You know, seeing some of the pictures the other day of when he first came into the league to how he's looking right now in OTAs, you can see the difference. You know, he dedicated himself into becoming that better quarterback that us fans have been asking, you know, I mean, making sure that he's going to go ahead and spend that quality time on getting better at that position. And, you know, the way this guy is looking, it looks like, you know, that's what he's doing. He pretty much answered, you know, what we wanted from him. So I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I mean, look, he kicked it off with hitting a dinger at that celebrity softball game. You know what I mean?
Not so just the dinger. Like, walk off.
Walk off at that. You know what I mean? And I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to see this kid go to work because he's got the weapons to go ahead and do it. He's got the weapons to prove that, you know, he could be that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't go 17-0 if Jalen Hurts ain't that guy. You feel me? It's not possible to go undefeated and then win a Super Bowl. It got to be on Jalen Hurts because, you know, that's just simple math. The math is math, and which means if we are going 17-0, I went to see a genie. She hooked me up with some prognostications. She was like, Mal, you on to something. 17-0 sounds like butter. And so I was like, perfect. Undefeated. I knew it was coming. You know, it was all up here. And then I went and got it verified. But nah, man, I'm excited about Jalen. You know, as it's been well documented, this is his second consecutive season with the same system and same coaching staff for the first time since high school. That can't be talked about enough, considering the success he had in college, right? And so I'm excited to see what he does in year two with the tools that he has outside, the offensive line in front of him, second year in the system. I think he really has an opportunity to take his game to the next level, worked out with quarterback gurus, is clearly one of the leaders on the team, definitely the leader on offense at only 23. I mean, how many 23-year-olds really command that sort of attention from 10-year veterans? Very few. So I've always believed in Jalen Hurts. I thought he had the intangibles and the stuff right here to get it done. Once he can match up this with the athletic ability that he has, I mean, he could be a top 10 quarterback for a really long time. So, you know, 17-0, standing on business, Super Bowl coming. Even when we lose, I'm going to ignore that and still keep that same energy because that don't fit my narrative. So I'm not even going to pay it no attention, man. I'm excited, bro.
There are a lot of narratives going on right now, but you know, Scott talks about you know, did Hurts work with some football guru? Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He is working with a QB coach, you know, and he's also you know, spent some time with Tom Brady as well.
Tom,
so
yeah,
so he's out here doing the work. You could say the Lord's work or the QB Lord's work or the QB God's work. But talking about his leadership. You know, Sirianni mentioned about Hurts. I go back to the type of guys that maximize their football potential. What are the common denominators with those guys? They have high character. They have high football IQ. They love football. They're tough and they're competitive. Jalen is all of those things.
Yeah.
When you talk about your leader of your football team, those are the kind of qualities you like. We talked about the chemistry. This is before he was even a star, before when I was, you know, had gotten word that like his relationship with Quez Watkins was super tight. You saw that translate to the field. You see his relationship with AJ Brown, which is an off the field relationship before it even blossomed here. Because of those relationships, he's going to have an opportunity to have some really good weapons to throw to. You talk about Devontae Smith being that 1A and or that 1B to AJ Brown's 1A, but I feel like he's got weapons to succeed. I think overall, I mean, the expectations this season for me for Jalen Hurts is, I just feel like he's got to get into that groove. You know, when you're in the Matrix, when it slows down and you're dodging bullets and it's everything, you know, you're not looking at the red dress. You're like, nah, you're super focused and you're not taking the cheese. Once he gets comfortable and it starts firing on all cylinders, that's when I'm like, okay, he's made it. He's there. Obviously, you know, I'm going to keep it 100 as always. You know, like it's a wait and see. You have to show, you have to prove and show, and he's got the opportunity to do so. So, I mean, what are your expectations for Jalen this season?
I mean, personally, for me, I expect him to take a huge step forward. Everything that you guys have said already, obviously he's bulked up. He's been putting in a ton of work this offseason. But I think the one X factor that lies in Jalen Hurts is that he's just completely locked in on football, man. Like this is what he eats and breathes and lives is football. And I hate comparing him to guys of the past, but obviously we've had quarterbacks in the past that they like to spend their off season
hunting,
enjoying themselves, vacationing, however you want to spend your off season. But what I see in Jalen Hurts is a guy that just wants to continually get better, man. And there's a lot that could happen between January and September. That's 9 months. People go from conception to full human in 9 months. If you're telling me that Jalen Hurts can't improve his arm strength at the very least, I think it can happen. So I feel confident that Jalen Hurts takes a huge step forward next year, especially with the pieces that have been added around him.
that's the key thing for me. You know, you guys know that I was like really big on that.
He's really big on.
Yeah, that was one of the disappointing things about Jalen is that Armstrong. Am I still here?
You are
there, brother.
This is you connection up.
Yeah, so
catching up to your connection.
Yeah, so I mean, it's all about that arm strength. You know, better this, you know, going into the season this year. And then of course, all about leading those receivers. So those are the key things that I'm hoping that he worked on this offseason. I'm confident he did. I mean, like you guys said, he's so focused on football, and you can see it all the time. I mean, that's what he talks. He sleeps, eats, everything. Everything's football with him. And it's a great attitude that, you know, I love to see, you know, going into the second year. So I'm excited. And development that I'm hoping that he definitely focused on this offseason is going to come out, and he's going to show it. And, you know, that it definitely paid off on dedicating himself to, you know, getting better and becoming that quarterback. So those are my expectations of him, and just making sure that he's got that arm strength and leading those receivers this year. You put those two things, you know, in combination with what he already, with the skills he's already has. Yeah, I really see him going a whole lot further this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was never really on the Jalen Hurts doesn't have the prerequisite arm strength to be a successful professional quarterback. For me, it was less arm strength and more timing. So, like Prime, you mentioned leading receivers, the touch that he has on the ball in a short to intermediate, and then also just making sure that his lower body and upper body work in sync as he's throwing passes, right? They're like a lot of times – there are very few Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes that can throw and not be in sync, right? That a lot of times your body just has to be working as one. And so, you know, when the pocket broke down, his mechanics broke down. Like, that's just natural. You go back to who you are as a player. And so having that additional time to work on footwork, technique, arm angle releases, like all of those things, I think will go a long way for him. You know, he's the unquestioned number one coming in this year. So he doesn't have the same type of speculation surrounding him, which I think is super helpful. I mean, coming into this season, I was always on the like 4,500 total yards, 35 total touchdowns kind of space, just because of his ability to run and throw. I see Jalen Hurts being successful. I think really, though, it's going to be on Sirianni and the offensive coaches to help him build like steam as the season goes along. It's going to be really important for those first handful of games that he comes out and plays well, just to build up that momentum, build up his confidence in himself, and like to add to the cohesion of the offense. So I'm really curious to see what are those first 10 to 15 plays they call in the very first game of the season, right? I think that that'll kind of also give us an idea of how they feel towards him. Is that like 8 runs and then 2 passes, right? Or are we going to see some sort of 50-50 split or a 60-40 kind of split where they're really relying on him to make better choices from the pocket. But I'm excited, man. You know, he's only 23. Like I said, he's locked in on football. You don't see him out partying. You don't see him out doing a lot of the extracurricular things that oftentimes you might see a young dude get caught up in once they start making a little bit of money and get a little fame. Like, he's locked in, man. Everything that you see from Jalen Hurts is all football all the time. I hope in his private time that he's doing things outside of just football, because that's also how you burn out. But I'm excited, man. I've always been excited.
He is serving up crawfish out in Philly. So I believe it was Philly. I saw a photo on the timeline. So he's getting out there doing some good. Yeah. Now, Jason from Iowa chimes in. He says the expectation of Hurts for him, be smart, don't force it. Trust in your teammates. And it's funny that you say trust your teammates. My next thought for me was, you know, when you talk about concerns for, you know, we got expectations. That's the positive. So, I mean, we're obviously going to talk about the concerns for Jalen Hurts. But for me, when you talk about concerns, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we have this saying, trust the process in Philadelphia. And trust the pocket. You got to trust the pocket and stay in the groove when you're there. Like if the passing lane's there, you know, obviously he's got that ability to, you know, break a run, get out there and make some noise with his legs. We know he has that in his game. Like that's the thing. I know he has that in his game. Like he's got over 1,000+ yards rushing in the last 2 years. That's kind of like, come on, that's a lot of yards. but I want him to progress as a passer. And obviously, I mean, you look at who has the longest throw in the NFL last year, passing 91 yards to Quez Watkins. That was by Jalen Hurts. So, I mean, he can go deep. So, you know, it's really about the consistency. Mm-hmm. When it becomes a natural thing, like when you become consistent with your game, that's where you become a pro. I mean, that's where the difference between good and great is, you're consistent. And when you want to be great, you do abnormal shit, like, you know, like Aaron Rodgers. That's what the greats do. But with this kind of defense, I've said it all along, if you have a solid defense, get three and outs, manage the game, do Jalen things that other quarterbacks can't do, and manage the game and make plays, and this could be solid. So what are your concerns?
Well, I mean, first of all, I want to just melt together the idea that you just had and Mal's idea, where he was talking about like what he expects out of the first 10 plays of the season. I honestly think a smart thing would be to start the season off with a lightning rod. I'm thinking about when T.O. joined the squad and first play from scrimmage was an 80-yard bomb from Donovan to T.O. Something like that. A.J. Brown, just get the momentum, get the juices pumping, and set the stage for the entire year. But if I'm talking about concerns with Jalen Hurts, obviously there's concerns with him himself and whether or not he's progressed in the areas I want him to progress. But my concern also lies in, you know, we have still a young coaching staff. I understand that Nick Sirianni, he passed off the play calling to Shane Steichen, but I just don't want him to be left all alone. I know that in the beginning of last year, we pretty much had to bully Nick Sirianni into running the ball. And it felt like the fan base had a better grasp over what plays the call than the actual coach himself. And I just don't want Jalen Hurts' development to be halted at all by Nick Sirianni just not knowing what to do, not getting support from his coaches.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a concern only on my end, it's just like him having more faith in himself. I think, you know, if there's really other things to go ahead and touch upon, it's, you know, things from last season. So, you know, I want to put that behind me. I don't even want to focus on what happened last season. I want to focus on this season. And if there's one thing, there's only one thing that I still want to focus on, again, it's just him having more confidence in himself. Having more confidence in his team. Again, he's set up. He's got the weapons. He's got one of his closest friends on the team. He's built a relationship with all these other guys, doing these little small events to keep them, you know, socially, you know, involved with each other, that type of stuff. So that would be my only, you know, concern going into the season. As the season goes on, then maybe, you know, hopefully there ain't nothing to be concerned about. You know what I mean? Hopefully he ended up finding a piece of the puzzle to bring it all together, and it'll show out, you know, out on the field. So I mean, that's the only thing that I would honestly be worried about. Other than that, hey man, it's time for him to go and shine this year.
Yeah, I think my biggest concern is that we've seen the best of what Jalen Hurts can be, right? That, like, if last season is his ceiling, then that's a bit concerning, because I'm not convinced that player evolves into a top 5 or 10 quarterback, is somebody that, like, you should be handing a big contract to, is somebody that you should be holding on to versus maybe making a pick next year. I think also one of the concerns is less with Jalen Hurts and more with just the fact that how we stockpile picks for next year, which probably will be a pretty strong QB market, that if Jalen doesn't just completely exceed expectations, just overwhelmingly, that, like, it still may be out of his hands, right? That, like, you know, Herm mentioned the young quarterback, young coaching staff that didn't choose Hurts, right? Like, they were given Hurts. They've done what they can with him. I think you can, again, if he comes out this year and has a very similar year, like, above average but not good nor great, that they can make the argument that, like, listen, he's just not the player for our system. Let's go ahead and identify somebody that's a better fit. I don't necessarily think that'll be the case, but I do know no matter which way it goes, that Jalen Hurts is going to work his behind off and is working his behind off to be the best player he can be. And so if his ceiling is who he was last year, It's not from a lack of trying or being distracted and not doing the things necessary to get better. And so, you know, everybody has physical limitations. Everybody has their ceiling. I think it's just a determination of like how high his goals versus what's best for the team moving forward over the next 3 to 5 years.
I think, you know, the thing about Jalen Hurts is like, I like the way he carries himself, and he lives in he lives in this coach speak, but he actually believes it. Like there's some people that are on football teams, or I've had quarterbacks who like they say shit, and everyone's like, I'm not, they know the right thing to say. I'm not running through a wall for this dude. But like for Jalen, you know, that's a thing. But the thing about his situation where he's in this, he's like in this pocket to like, you know, he's got Philadelphia media here. He's got the pressure of like getting that contract. He's got the pressure of, you know, the next quarterback's coming in and us having multiple picks. Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, I feel like he's a guy that just lives in his space. And like, if he's in, and if he can like, imagine if I'm imagining that he will, but think about those kind of pressures where other quarterbacks or people will fold under these magnifying glasses. So, I mean, this is where he's at. For him to succeed, that would be amazing. And I like the fact that he's in this pressure cooker type situation. And moving right along to my next player.
I wanted to just touch on Dante's point right here.
Yeah.
Before we moved on, if you just look at these three names, Cunningham, McNabb, Vic, those are all quarterbacks that are capable of running, but those aren't run first quarterbacks. That's the difference right there. Those are guys that are able to get downfield with their legs. Yes. But they are very strong passers as well.
I argue Vic was a run first quarterback. So
I
argue Vic was a run first.
I would accept that, but it's like one of the things that is really slept on about Michael Vic is like, dude had a cannon, dude. There was no denying that dude laser. Could just let loose. Yeah. So, like, that is an aspect that Jalen Hurts, he doesn't have in his game yet. And I'm not saying that with timing or with improving his arm strength, he can't get closer to that. But those three guys, it's not fair to put him with them, I don't think.
But, I mean, I feel like that's a valid point, though. And even with the, like, don't leave the pocket component, I think folks want to really keep him inside the, like, technical pocket. First of all, like, changing platforms is a part of the NFL, right? Like moving your quarterback outside the pocket to open up looks, to get defenders to commit because they're thinking that he's going to leave. Like, that's a strategy. And so I personally don't want to see Jalen Hurts diminish who he is as an athlete and as a runner to try to prove a point as a quarterback. I think ultimately, like, that'll undermine him as a player. I think it's finding that balance between I don't see it in my first two reads. I'm taking off to I'm going to readjust, get outside the pocket. I got A.J. Brown running around. I got Dallas Goedert running around. I have Smitty running around. I have Quez probably going deep and just resetting the platform. But, you know, the best quarterbacks, even when they leave the pocket, they keep their eyes downfield, right? Yep. Like, it's a difference between eyes downfield, making a play versus I'm out. I want him to do less of the I'm out, move the pocket. Hey, bro, we know what you can do with your legs. At worst case scenario, just be out. But in the end of the day, shift the pocket around, but make those throws, y'all. They're open, and the defenses don't expect you to make that play.
I mean, I think with his skill set, he at the end of the day, he's always making defenses think. So if you could even make him think even a little bit more by you know, getting to all your dudes and seeing all your reads, that's even a better space to be. But like
exactly
going back to that space I was talking about, that pressure cooker space. Like, I want him to think about the Jets game where everyone was, like, feeling Gardner Minshew or whatever it is the case. I want the competition to be as good as it can be behind him. Like, I don't want him to be, you know, going to
comfortable.
Like, this is what I want. I want a competition, and I want a guy who's going to actually, like, when you get a quarterback who comes in like, hey, I'm Joe backup, like, Gardner Minshew wants the job. Like, he's already went to Nick Sirianni, and I respect that from a player's perspective, him coming in not thinking I'm a backup. No, I want you to push. So the fact that you have Gardner Minshew, obviously he's a character and he's got a hell of a mullet. he's a guy who's over his career. He's, you know, he had one solid good season where, you know, he put up some numbers and really, you know, had a little radar going on. And the fact that you got him in here to compete, you have, like, you're only as good as your depth. And I feel like Gardner Minshew, my expectations for him this season are really to come in here and compete. Like, I really want him to, you know, push Jalen Hurts. Like, you know, obviously I'm not, you don't want any, you know, thing to happen to Jalen Hurts, but having a backup like Gardner Minshew is, you know, a guy that can win a couple games. We saw Jalen Hurts go down with an injury to his leg, and he came in seamlessly, did his duties. I remember Prime very, very, very excited at that Jets game next to me. Very excited. I remember hearing leading receivers. We're all impressed with that performance. But I'm just saying, I really want him to push the competition. You know, like, it is what it is.
I, like, from the point that we were just making, where Jalen Hurts, you know, we have a guy that is coming in here in Gardner Minshew that is giving him, I don't want to say a run for his money, but he wants the starting job. Like, is that overblown? Like, no. I think that Gardner Minshew, I don't doubt that he wants a starting job in the NFL, but if I'm looking at him as the makeup of Gardner Minshew versus Jalen Hurts, I don't see the same type of mentality where I was describing Jalen Hurts as, you know, he's football, eat, breathe, lives football. Gardner Minshew's a guy that has fun. He's a good talent, naturally talented second string quarterback. But is he a starter in the league? Is kind of my point. I don't know if mentally he is willing to put in the work that Jalen Hurts, I feel like, is willing to put in the work.
I mean, that's you'd have to be on the practice field to see his.
I would. Yeah, I'm 100% speculating right now.
I mean, I think he's his character. You know, he's loose and has fun with it. But the fact that he's wanting to start and asking the question, like, yo, like, is there, you know, like, at the end of the day, you want someone like
Josh Rosen wanted to start.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
but he's not Josh Rosen, though.
I don't get into all of that, bro. Like, you asking to start knowing that you're not a legitimate bona fide dude in front of you. Like, what does that even mean? Like, for me, like, you're not
quarterback controversy. That's
I personally didn't even like that he did that, to be real with you.
Well, I mean, like, if you're a competitor, right? Like,
you compete with your game, bro. Like, if you're better, you shouldn't have to go. How many you went to your boss and be like, "I'm better than him. I need to be in front of him."
Nah, but
get behind off and you get promoted in front of someone.
If you're a player, you're gonna go to your coach. You're like, you never been. Yo, you play football before. You never went to your head coach and been like,
never,
yo,
bro. I just never work dudes. I dog dudes, son. I ain't never asked my coach to move me ahead of somebody that's better than me. Are you crazy?
I'm not saying I'm not saying he
that's
went in there
really like behavior, bro. I ain't really care for that personally. I get what you're saying, like,
but listen to what I'm saying though. That, like, the fact that he's in there to compete, I want someone to come in here and compete, not so like lallygag and be like,
well, he definitely does that. I mean, he definitely comes into that locker room as a competitor. I mean, look, you brought up that Jets game. Yeah, I was very excited to see that dude play, man. He led the wide receivers. I mean, it was, you know, it was just at that time where it was just the expectation you wanted from our actual quarterback. He went down with a minor injury. You got that opportunity to see this guy come in, see what he's all about. He definitely gave my respect. I agree with Maul. You know, I mean, you don't go doing that. Like, I look at that. I mean, look, let's just look at it this way. That's like, I'm a boss at my job. You know what I mean? One of my coworkers goes to my actual boss and tells him that, you know, he could do the job better than me and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm going to feel some type of way. So I could understand, you know, where Maul's coming from on that. Like, so I get what he's saying, but then I get what you're saying too. The competitiveness, yeah, all, by all means, come into that, into the team with, you know, being that competitor. You know, come and compete with me. You're going to get the best out of me just like I'm going to get the best out of you.
That's at the end of the day, that's really what I'm saying. Like, and yeah, that's why that's my expectations. I want you to be that dude to make Jalen push. And that's Jalen's my dude, but it's I want this dude to be behind him to push. I don't want, you know, what's his name? Who's behind Carson Wentz before we got Nick Foles.
It's Tutty Sutty.
Yeah, like he never got to that point where we were like, you know what I mean? He never got there. So like
Nick just whipped it out and be like, look,
but that was also to placate to Carson Wentz's ego, right? That like you couldn't have a dude. The minute that we got somebody that was actual competition for Carson Wentz, Carson Wentz's career caved in. And so like you also gotta know. Am I wrong? Jalen Hurts joins the football team.
You won't let
it go. Carson Wentz's career caves in. And so I'm just saying, is that just happenstance? Did it happen that way? I don't think so. I don't disagree with you, bro.
Carson, you got anything?
I know Carson over there. You ain't tricking me. But so, Gail, I don't disagree about the competition piece. I wholeheartedly agree with that. My thing is the approach, right? That like when you're on a team, a football team, yo, you know who the dogs are, right? Like, you shouldn't have to ask permission. And certainly that conversation should have never gotten out. We should have never heard about that. Because if that's between two grown-ass men in the NFL locker room, how did we hear about this? So that's more so I'm like somebody was doing a bunch of talking that they chit-chatting that they shouldn't have been. I'm cool with Gardner Minshew. I think that we overblowing what he did versus a very – decent Jets team versus how he looked versus the Cowboys, right? Like, yeah, we had people hurt. Yeah, it wasn't a full offense. But, like, if Gardner Minshew is going to pass Jalen Hurts, I want to see him perform well in both of those instances, right? He was set up for perfection in that Jets game. He did not look like the same quarterback versus the Cowboys. And so, for me, Gardner Minshew is not a threat. I need Gardner Minshew to work his tail off, potentially get another opportunity to start somewhere, most likely be a bridge quarterback for the rest of his career. That's his ceiling, right? We know what he is. And so for me, Gardner Minshew would have to go so hard to ever turn around and be like, okay, you start. But you do need a dude like him to spot start for a dual threat quarterback. The chances of Jalen Hurts making it 17 games, he might miss two or three. He's the perfect person to spot start 2 to 3 games. But like, I think people in this fan base see Gardner Minshew as something that he just has never been and will never be. He's 26. We know who he is,
bro. That's the personality. He's a very charming type of guy, and people fucking love it. And that's just
he's a country dude. He appeals to a certain demographic of the Philadelphia Eagles sports fans. I get all of that.
Say the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, like I trust me. The quiet part's still in here. Yeah. I kept that part inside.
Yeah, yeah.
But he appeals to a very specific demographic in Philadelphia, in the greater Philly area. I wholeheartedly understand that. But, like, I don't know, bro. I see people talk about Gardner Minshew as if he's this player that he's never been.
And he was never
that guy.
My point is that, like I was originally saying to Gail, is that do you think – I agree that Gardner Minshew is a – good enough backup, and I agree with everything that Mal just said. He's the perfect guy to step in for a couple games. But do you think in Jalen Hurts' mind that he views Gardner Minshew as a legitimate threat?
Absolutely not.
I don't believe Jalen even Hurts even think like Jalen's so dialed in that.
Yeah.
But I need someone to always be behind you, like working hard. Like
sure.
I use the same scenario when Bill Walsh, when he had Joe Montana, who's won Super Bowls for him, he brought in Steve Young to pressure Montana.
Right.
He has Montana, but he brings in Young. Like, you're going to mess with Joe Montana. The guy's already won you Super Bowls. But he did that on purpose to bring the best out of it. And then
But Montana wasn't 23 years old.
No, but I'm saying in terms of competition-wise – he didn't want his quarterback to sit here, you know, and have somebody like I just like this competition. And we're just talking.
No.
I love competition, bro.
Like, can we just take a step back in the time machine a few months here? I mean, I remember a few months ago, all the conversation was about let's trade for Deshaun Watson. I'm just looking for those commenters right there that wanted Deshaun Watson so bad.
He's been keeping that
three
one
first
in the
round. I was keeping that one locked and loaded because I was adamant about not talking about that shit.
Man,
and people wanted that show after show. Let's talk to Deshaun Watson.
Bro, hey,
do you even think he's going to get a game in this year?
I don't think he's going to get a game in, period, bro.
Now,
it's spicy down there.
Now, I mean, if I'm talking about any concern, I mean, we did talk heavily about Gar and Mitchie, but did we talk about like did we talk about concerns? Like, I have no concerns about like, I just want my backup quarterback to like push. At the end of the day, if he doesn't bring anything to the table, that would be a big concern for me. I think, I mean, the thing that you like to see, like, he's also going to have the same weapons to play with as Jalen Hurts. So that it's a win-win for everybody. This is for the sure. Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, again, and going to Mal's point about just the way that how, like, I won't take what people – I know what Mal's talking about and how he's viewed as, like, some kind of, like, savior or something in a sense. But, I'm not going to say that that's Gardner Minshew's, you know, narrative, like, from him – you know, that's coming from somewhere else. But I feel like at the end of the day, it is what it is. I also like to have a quirky backup. Like, he reminds me of, what's his name? Neckbeard.
Corey Detmer,
a little quirky dude.
That's the thing that, like, I think that more people get infatuated with the personality of Gardner Minshew and let that kind of alter their opinion of his football abilities. I'm not sitting here saying that Gardner Minshew is a trash football player. Honestly, I think that Gardner Minshew is a solid QB2 in this league. Mm-hmm. But he's not a QB1, and there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah, I mean, my concern is that he's a backbiter and attempts to cause friction in a situation where, in his mind, he may think he's better than the incumbent starter, or reality says otherwise. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But coming out of that situation where he goes to Sirianni, they have this conversation, I'm still on the stand, like, who divulged this information, right? The, like, how does this come to the light? Because in the end of the day, that's a conversation that we shouldn't even be talking about that. You could talk him up as much as you want. Mark, you know what I'm saying. I like Gardner Minshew as a player. Like, he's the type of dude that gives everything he has. And so, again, what Ev said, I think he'll go to a team. Somebody will pay him some money to be a bridge quarterback. You know, we've seen this. Look at the boy.
It'll be Nick Foles.
Foles, you know, you seeing dudes get a second chance.
Yeah,
right?
But Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater, right?
You know, like, all types of dudes like that. Winston. So, I don't have.
Chase Daniel made $100 million.
I think Jameis Winston is better than Gardner Minshew. But just in the end of the day, my only concern is that his feeling that he deserves to start becomes an issue an issue in the lockout. Are we talking Malcolm's concerns or Gale's concerns right now?
I'm talking about mine right now. Like, you talk about the NFL. Like, it's not the most competitive league in the end. Like, that's where all the, like, every guy on the field should want to start. That if you didn't, sure if that. You didn't think that way,
Gale sounds like he's about to buy a Minshew jersey.
What about Mark Sanchez when he was housing chicken fingers on the sideline?
I would be mad if any player on this team didn't go to their coach and say, "Yo, what can I do to start?"
That's a different question, different scenario than going to your coach and saying, "I deserve to be the starter." That is not.
Did he say?
But
did he say he deserved to be the starter?
He didn't ask him, "What do I have to do to start?" If that's what came out, was that Gardner Minshew went to the coach to say that he should be the starter? That is not a question. That's
an opportunity.
What's the gap between me and the lead? Me and the leader.
We have the actual quote.
What do I need to do?
You're talking like you got the actual quote.
What I understood is that. He asked what I need to do to start.
So the quote here says that he asked to be Philadelphia starting quarterback after week 13.
Alshon's still giving out Fawcett.
When he was Jacksonville's quarterback, he said being a number two is not an option. And then after week 13, he asked why he couldn't be the starting quarterback.
Hold on, but now I'm seeing a different report. So now I'm seeing January 7th, Minshew reportedly asked Sirianni what it took to win the Eagles starting quarterback job.
Then that's what I've been talking about.
I don't know which one's true.
So I'm looking at this one that says, after his performance, Minshew reportedly went to Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni and asked for the starting gig over Hurts, according to ESPN's Chris Mortensen. He also asked what it would take for him to become this team starter. Yeah.
That like that Sirianni part
reportedly responded is with what, is not going to happen.
That's what I'm talking about. Like I don't have a problem with anyone. Like I want somebody
to ask for the starting quarterback gig. No, that's what I'm referring to.
I'm referring to what it takes to start. Like I need to hear that from all players on the Eagles roster.
This is why it's a cool brewing. I'm about to be the host. That's why I'm taking over the 4th of June podcast. The people had enough of you, Gail. Nah, I'm just joking, man.
I'm cheating back in a second.
Gail said I worked too hard for this.
But after that, yo, I'm going to be honest and serious. As a football player, like if I have a guy behind me not fighting me in practice every day, I got a problem with that. You're supposed to make me better. That's what every coach will tell you to do. That's but what if every
was in front of that dude, and he went to your coach and said, "I should be the starter."
You gonna make me better? I'm a like, yo, I'm a whoop your ass in practice.
We got different.
I've had to compete against guys my whole like playing football. The dog comes out, and whoever's the best player is going to play.
But you know the cat that says they should have my job. Every instance I get, I destroy them. I make them look so smaller.
But we're talking about the NFL, bro. Like
quit. Like don't do that, bro. Don't make me put all the weight on you. You don't want that for real. And so again, like I get it, but don't come asking for my job that I work my behind off. Yo, what can I do to take your spot? I don't got no issue with that. I deserve his spot. I'm crushing you every chance I get.
Like you talk to any NFL player, they think they're like they'll tell you that they're the best player. They're not gonna say like this dude's better than me unless it's like Calvin Johnson, and you're like Greg Ward.
Keep it 100. That also isn't frequently the case at quarterback, right? That like usually because look what happened when they drafted Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers. Threaten to retire 2 years in a row behind that, right? Like usually your quarterback, your incumbent starter is your unquestioned leader unless something happens. And so, yeah, 100%, I get the competition piece, but usually quarterbacks are exempt from that sort of situation because that is the face of your franchise. That's your franchise leader. That's the person that everyone's supposed to buy into. So if you have a situation where that person is split, right? That is fracturing, much like what happened with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. When it fractures, it causes all sorts of issues across your organization. So again, I'm not disagreeing with competition. I'm just saying in this instance, at the most important position that is on a football field on either side of the ball, you rarely see somebody doing that when they're not even that guy, right? They're like, if he was that good, I wouldn't have an issue. But we know that he's not better than Jalen Hurts right now.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, we already know that.
So
we're talking about competing. We're talking about you need a backup to be. At the end, your backup needs to win. Your backup needs to win a couple games for you. That's exactly.
And he could do that.
That's right. That's where we're at.
Look at Carson Strong.
Well, why don't we move right along?
I was gonna say, I've lost track of where we're even at this argument. Yo,
Evan, let's start an argument, man. Carson's better than Nick.
Let's see here. Moving right along. We have Reed Sinnott. Obviously, he was traded. He was, you know, played at San Diego, got some time, I believe, Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I like how you say obviously, like as if most of the I bet you most of this fan base don't even know who Reed Sinnott is.
he's got a great look here. I mean, you know, six. He's got the size. I mean, at the end of the day, like you know, he's a camp body at this moment. You're hoping he becomes something. They think they see something in his game.
Jack.
He's going into his second year. I think for me, you know,
this is his college stats.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm more intrigued about Carson Strong than I am about Reed Sinnott being our QB3.
Yeah, I mean Reed Sinnott, the skip button on this one, then.
Reed Sinnott doesn't really do anything for the pulse there. I mean, Carson Strong,
Carson Strong, the only thing that's like out there is Strong. That's it. Other than that, what's there to talk about Carson Strong?
No, well, I mean, what I remember when we were going through the draft, there was one stat I looked at with Carson Strong, and I was like, all right, I'm out. And I think he had negative 280 something rushing yards last year. And my man just gets sacked over and over again.
He kept on hitting on that. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, the mobility is not what he was potentially going to get drafted for.
No, but he's definitely got arguably.
But he got drafted. So, I mean, he got drafted. It means something. So he's got something.
Undrafted.
He went undrafted. Oh, I'm sorry. Undrafted. Okay.
But he got some good guaranteed money for undrafted free agent. So
for sure.
I mean, the thing about Carson Strong's game, you like his short to intermediate accuracy, the arm talent. He's got a strong arm.
Yep.
Go back to his high school days, his knee. You know, the one thing I was at the Senior Bowl with Jimmy Kemsky, and I said, "What do you think about Carson Strong?" He's like, "Yo, that knee's shot."
Yeah.
You know, he went on and played on a bad knee for a while. You know, prior to his senior year playing, he was injured. So he was like the highlights I know Evan is talking about. He was a sitting duck, like the National Geographic movies where you see the antelope getting killed by like a lion. Like that's what Carson Strong is in the pocket. Like he's going down.
You could call him an antelope. I mean,
yeah.
Or maybe not even antelope. Hippos are pretty fast too. No,
hippos can move.
Yeah. You gotta move if you're fucking.
What's a slow giraffe?
Giraffes are pretty damn fast.
Sloth.
Too.
Sloth is good. All
right, I got
sloth.
That's the only thing I can think of.
No, but I mean,
that's real bad.
Like the thing is, the reason why he slipped so far and he didn't get drafted, people thought he was going to get drafted in the third to fourth round. That's mm-hmm. where a lot of people had him.
Yeah.
It was the injuries, and also he didn't interview as well. Something that got out. I don't know. Greg Cosell had mentioned that he heard that he didn't interview well. I don't know exactly what that is and what, but hey, I mean potential. I mean we're talking about QB3.
Yeah. He grows a mullet, could work his way into QB2.
I mean, it's got to be the knee, right? That like that's the reason why he didn't end up getting drafted. I like Carson Strong as a player. I mean, I think for him, his game isn't predicated on athleticism. We've seen statuesque-ish quarterbacks be successful in the league. Fewer of them now than like back in the 90s for sure. Low level of expectations, right? That if he can do something, be QB2 for a couple years before the knee goes to hell. I think that's well worth it.
UDFA is all gravy.
Hmm?
UDFA is all gravy, in my opinion. If you didn't spend a draft pick on it and you can get anything out of them, that's a win.
Yeah, didn't have to spend a ton of like guaranteed money for them. They were able to Warthog, if they dying, if they threaten. All these animals are moving, but Sloth. Sloth's under attack, don't care, bro.
Do I need to bring back the other banner? So I gotta give a happy birthday shout out to Daniel too, by the way.
Oh, it's Daniel's birthday.
Daniel. Happy birthday, Daniel.
Sweden town. shout out to people that are in the chat from like all over the place. Sweden. I know Bob's from Australia. We got Mark from
Is Paul Oregon. Around? Isn't that – yeah. Bob's from Great Down Under.
Feast with Pete. He's from –
Yo, Pete.
Sri Lanka.
Originally. Originally.
Pete said his birthday was 2 weeks ago. Happy belated, brother.
Yeah, happy belated, man. Jordan Davis. You guys been catching any Jordan Davis clips recently? I love him, man. I was hell bent on the Kyle Hamilton thing. I've fallen in love with Jordan Davis ever since he came here, bro.
Great personality. Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a need too.
Yeah,
he's a jokester. I mean, like some of the interviews that he had after his OTAs, he was, you know, joking around. That's, you know, but, I like seeing that out of that guy. Well, so.
There's that, but there's also like, just think of like the resurgence he could kind of give to Fletcher Cox's career, man.
Yeah, like he for at least 1 year of it.
Yeah.
Hey man,
nonetheless.
I just like the fact that he's gonna do the dirty work, and he's already that mindset he comes from at Georgia. Like I went back and was watching his combine interview and just talked about like none of the guys on that defensive line at Georgia saw themselves as like better than the rest. Right. So obviously they all had to play their role for each of them to eat. So like that kind of mindset, especially as a young player, I mean, and he's got the size to back it up. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like I hope he, he's just, I think, teaming him up with Javon and yep. Fletcher Cox, it's, and then you don't even Milton Williams, like
Milton, bro. Yeah,
it's just a lot of talent on that defensive
line,
front.
Man. It's a monster line.
And with Jordan Davis, I don't know. For me, it was sort of easier to project his skill set into the NFL versus some of the other folks on the line because you had to do a little bit more guesstimating. Right, that like the defensive end that went to Jacksonville wasn't asked to be just go after the quarterback type dude. Like he had to do his job, right? And so we saw what Jordan Davis was supposed to do in college. He's gonna have a very similar role for the Eagles. And so for me, I was like out of that defense and watching as much tape on them as I did. I felt he was a safer projection just because you see what he could do is exactly what we're gonna ask him to do. Whereas some of those other Georgia defensive linemen, they'll be asked to do other things that like they just haven't really put on tape consistently necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this dude can move like a semi, man.
Yeah, that the film's going around of him versus the three Alabama interior alignment that moved him 2 inches off the line of scrimmage.
And one like, of those guys, that's Alabama, dude.
Yeah, and one of those dudes was our starting left guard.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Landon was already talking about what a beast he is. Yeah.
But as we recap the quarterbacks before we close it out, before we move on, just saying, you know, I think we have a good nucleus of guys in here at the moment. Yeah, we have budding talent. You got the backup, and you got a potential guy that you could develop in Carson Strong, Reed Sinnott. We'll see. Camp arm.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, thinking about, I mean, it's pretty tough to not think about Jordan Davis because he's just so great. But just thinking about people that are doing great in the community, the Slays.
Word.
I'm in New York City. I didn't get an opportunity to bring with me something that the Slays have sent out. So the dudes are going to do an unboxing. I'm gonna have to do my unboxing later.
You see how bummed out Gail is right now? He can't be part of this.
Yo, you know what, Gail? That's your problem.
Cracker Jacks.
No, I mean, big shout out to the Slays, man. Yeah, they've done a lot for the community. Whoa! Look at that!
What's up?
How you like that?
Very nice, man.
Hey, you see that mark in there?
That is nice. Are you gonna frame that or?
Well, you see, now I have an influx of signed jerseys that I never used to have before. But I've gotten the Kelce, the Devontae, and the Slay all signed within a month.
I thought about that. I was like,
I gotta buy. I don't even have the wall space to put them.
I was like, can I say the Slays? It's Darius Slay.
Yeah, it's Slays.
But Slays with an S. Shout out to the Slays. Yeah.
Slay apostrophe.
Apostrophe, yes.
Prime, let me see your jersey.
Nice.
Very nice. Yo, Jennifer Slay has been doing work out there in the community. A lot of people have been, you know, she promised a lot of people jerseys, shipped a lot of those jerseys. So if you haven't got yours, you'll probably get yours soon. Came to the tailgate that day. Shout out to her for showing up in Tampa. But now she just has to show up
in Philly.
But yeah, hopefully I'll get mine soon.
You're not even, I mean, we're also kind of, you forgot to mention another big thing here. There was a big competition yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to,
I'm just tormenting Hollis Thomas.
I was trying to segue in there.
That's like meme worthy right there. Honestly, like, that should be a meme.
We could caption this. That could be a caption this on the 4th of John.
That might just be the picture for the episode, honestly.
Yeah. shout out to Prime, and shout out to the charity work that you guys all did out there. I know you guys raised a ton of money in this charity flag football game.
Yeah.
Dave Schrader says thank you to the 22 members of the media, 10 members of our 4 nonprofits, the Eagles legends serving as coaches, plus cheerleader Swoop and 1 Eagles insider, Dave Spadaro, for coming together to raise $36,000 in the 7th annual Pick Energy Media flag football game. And yours truly, Prime, representing
Primo.
Yeah, that was it was a great time, man. Shout out to Dave Schrader for the opportunity to go ahead and join a good event. I was definitely able to represent one of the best charities out there for the CHOP Hospital. I've been dealing with CHOP for quite a bit of time. Shout out to Sophia. Sophia, way back 5 years old at the time, she was diagnosed with leukemia. So it was all about supporting her, and then I stuck with it for so many years. The company that I work for kind of like backed off of it, but my support to her, to the charity, definitely never stopped. I was always trying to find a way to get back into it. And then, being able to represent yesterday at the charity game and then knowing that I was going to go ahead and play for CHOP, it definitely hit off. I mean, it was like a perfect scenario. It was a great time. As you guys can see, I had a great time with Hollis, man. Yeah, that dude, hands down, a big bear. And it was just like, we were having a great time just breaking balls with him. But he definitely, there was one time that I even like squared up with him when he wasn't looking, just to look like I was, coming at him. But it was fun.
Did he see you behind that photo?
What's that?
Did he see you?
Yeah, I posted it. He reposted it back in his story. He laughed at it. But listen, honestly, what was also great about yesterday, I finally got to meet Fred Barnett, bro. That was a moment right there. That was a moment, man. I went up to the guy, I told him it was an honor. Finally got to meet him, and then it's even going to be more of an honor when I beat him. But that didn't happen. We didn't come up with the W.
But who was your coach though?
Jason Avant, man. Shout out to Jason, man. Jason was, he was definitely coaching us through it. He was getting into it. Me and him had a little collab, breaking balls with Hollis. We were really getting under his skin after a while, but it was fun, man. It was a great time. Shout out to everybody that was there. Definitely shout out to Dave Schrader for giving us the opportunity. Met quite a bit of people on social media, on people that are involved in CHOP, NRG, Telemundo. You had people that were there from WIP, a lot of Twitter people, guys that I've seen for the first time in person. So it was just like the whole collaboration, the whole interaction. It was a great time, and I'm looking forward to next year.
Say Telemundo again.
Shout out to you, Prop.
Telemundo.
Say it right. You got to say it right, man.
Yo, it's not often that someone makes Prime look small, bro. I mean, if you ever see pictures of us at the tailgate, Prime's always making us look like dwarfs, and then you got Hollis Thomas out here making him look like a little child.
Hollis is a beast, man. He is a beast, yo. It was great. Oh, shout out. Oh, the other person that was there was Willie T, man. One of my great linebackers from back in the day. William Thomas was in the house. He was one of the coaches as well. But yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Fred Barnett, you were excited to meet him. He did a podcast with us back, 3 years ago?
Yep.
He's a funny dude, too. Yeah, Freddie Barnett is he's quick with it. I wasn't expecting that when I met him. I was like, oh, you got jokes. Yeah, Jason Avant, man. He's one of those dudes, man. Like, I'm glad that he's getting a lot of credit these days. He's out here coaching flag football teams. He's getting love from Brandon Marshall, DeSean Jackson, and LeSean McCoy. I think he's getting his flowers. But this we're gonna start profiling all these position groups. So look forward to the next one. What position group you guys want to do next?
You want to alternate offense and defense, or you want to like jump to running backs and just go through the whole offense first?
Or do we just wait for the next person to go to the coach and tell them that they're going to go ahead and
Maybe Boston's next kicker is asking the next pack kicker.
More time, more.
Don't worry, me and Evan will sit back and let you see.
We'll moderate.
I think we should just go right into running back would be nice.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Because I know Ev's got a lot to say about Miles.
Oh, it's our turn. It's our turn, Evan. Here we go.
Let's just say I probably won't be receiving a signed Miles Sanders jersey anytime soon.
Never say never, bro. Maybe he likes spicy talk. Maybe that's what he's been missing.
Maybe.
So hold on. Before we log out, I just want to ask y'all this question again. I posed this to the people in the comments. So y'all were having a conversation. Well, we were having a conversation around, would you rather get elected to the Hall of Fame or would you rather have multiple Super Bowl rings? And so I was the only person that said Super Bowl. I'd rather be
a role player on the team.
Yeah, that's cool. I'd rather be really good, end up in the Ring of Honor, but have multiple Super Bowls versus individual accolades and being in the Hall of Fame. And we're just curious, like, why y'all prefer the Hall?
Well, simple math. He made like $100 million more than the role player. So
if you look at
who's going to remember your Super Bowl?
If you look at how many people are in the Hall of Fame, what is it? Like, there's like 300 guys in the Hall of Fame that have ever played football ever. You're enshrined in that top 300 versus if you're a role player, like there's been role players that nobody remembers their name and they've got Super Bowl rings. That does happen.
Hall of Famers that people don't remember their name, bro.
For sure.
$100 million in Hall of Fame. Easy. Simple maths.
But you know the wild part, guarantee if you ask Larry Fitzgerald, will he take $50 million and two Super Bowls or $100 million? He would trade that bread in.
Or be a Troy Brown.
I'm curious to know what he would actually say.
Troy Brown's a killer, bro. Yeah, I would be too. Role Troy player. Brown was that dude.
Yeah, I mean I love Troy Brown. I mean Edelman's definitely got that role player and he's playmaker too, but
he was more of a playmaker than Chris Hogan. Like, that's who was the example.
Yeah.
Chris Hogan was a bad comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised somebody thought that.
Well, he got the rings. I think it's the rings.
He got the rings.
But he didn't really contribute. Like, when you call somebody a role player, like,
that's the point you're saying. You're saying Chris Hogan didn't really contribute. Would you be proud about those rings? You didn't contribute.
I'm not talking about a Chris Hogan type contributor. That's like the sixth. By the time we figured out it was Chris, when we were talking about
it, I said it right off the bat. You guys were like, oh, what wide receiver looks the same? And I was like, that's Chris Hogan.
Hall of Fame generational wealth. You could set up your own damn league with $100 million.
$40 million is generational wealth. Like, $4 million flip right could get you to where you need to go.
You could put on a Super Bowl play for like the next 100 years and make sure you get a ring, everything. That was interesting, though. I didn't think you're gonna have that take, Mel.
I'm all about them the team accolades, and because I don't know, when I think about Super Bowl winners, I'll just see those pictures of dudes holding their kids right with their partners. Like, that celebration is just so incredible. I mean, Hall of Fame gold jacket is a gold jacket in the end of the day, but for me, I would definitely go with winning the Super Bowl, winning multiple Super Bowls and being remembered as a really good player. That would be my preference, but I don't think there's a wrong answer. I think it just depends on what matters to you.
Sure. I saw Helena say, can we talk about the sprinter, possible new punt returner? Yeah. I mean, Devin Allen, you know, it's not every day that you get a world-class sprinter on your Eagles. He posted the third fastest time ever in the – was it the 100-meter hurdles? 110-meter hurdles. And then not only did he run his race win, he gave a little shout out, fly Eagles fly. Like he's in the mindset. And some people are like, oh, can you catch a pass? I'm like, do you watch football? Like, do you watch college football? Like, and I don't want to be that dude, but like when you're being that dude, like, can he catch a football up there? Like he got a contract from the Eagles for a reason. He's got the speed. He has played college. Ask Mark, resident Oregonian. I don't even know if that's right, but Mark will tell you he's played football before. So again,
when was the last time he played?
It's probably like he had injuries probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
It was like 4 or 5 years, yeah.
Yeah.
In a minute. But I mean, yeah, also he's placing top three in all of these events versus like the fastest human beings in the world. So I give him that. Like, hey, if you could catch the ball coming down, I don't know. We don't need you to run so many routes. We need somebody that could catch a ball coming out the air on special teams and do a little something with it.
Yeah, I saw that because I posted it. If you saw it on the socials, I posted that. And all from every angle I heard, can you catch a ball? I saw that comment about 80 times. 80 times.
That would make sense timing-wise at Oregon. I think Mariota would have been his keeper.
I mean, the biggest thing for me is what Devin Allen said about what Jalen Hurts reacted to him and made him feel comfortable. He's like, I know that I'm like seventh or eighth string on the roster for the wide receivers, but he made me feel he got an opportunity to get to know me. He took the time to get to know me.
What Gardner Minshew do? Yeah. Did you invite him out to the ranch? No. You know what I mean?
What I gotta do to take somebody out?
Right. You're always asking for permission. Man. Yeah, man. Get them out of here. I'm just excited about this season. First time in a minute that I have faith in the QB room. I think that he could definitely run straight really fast. I think Jalen Hurts is gonna take that next step. And I've seen this quite a few times, and I'll like rehash the sentiment that he doesn't have to take a huge leap for this team to be a playoff contender, right? That like he has to make some strides in very tangible areas, but like a little bit better Jalen Hurts. And like this team is a threat, dude, especially with the additions that they've made on offense and defense. I'm excited to see where this all pans out. 17-0 is my guess. And yeah, I'm standing on it, bro.
Prime, your last thoughts before we get out of here.
No, I mean, just to pretty much piggyback off of that, I'm excited about the season. You're getting closer and closer. More and more events coming our way so we could be a part of and, you know, be around the Eagles as much as possible.
You're getting a little spoiled. I'm proud you're getting a little spoiled.
I am, man.
I mean, Ev just talked about it. He's like, yo, I got a Slay jersey, a Kelsey jersey, and the Devontae Smith signed jersey.
But hold up, but can we agree? I think we're all getting spoiled. You know, I mean, Evan with 4 signed jerseys now. Oh, you, man. I mean, like you listen, you got things going on for you. Maul softball game, you know what I mean? Things are starting to happen, you know what I mean? Baby steps. And then yesterday, I mean, I felt like a kid going up in there. I gotta admit, walking in there, it was just like, yo, I see these guys on a original basis now, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I walked up to Jason like, yo, what's good? You know what I mean? Hollis Thomas, the same thing. It's like, yeah, so I admit, man, I'm geeked up. I'm geeked up when I get around these guys, but it is what it is, man. We did what we did to get to the point where we're at, you know what I'm saying?
We got Hollywood Prime over here.
Hey, man.
Hollywood Prime.
I ain't stealing the Hollywood. That ain't come from me. That, you know what I mean? He's the one that gave me the label.
I got
it. I ain't stealing the Hollywood. Nah, but all jokes aside, man, I'm having a great time. We're all having a great time.
You're enjoying your time.
But that's the point, man. Like, yo, life is short, man. Like, have a good time. Enjoy yourself,
bro. I'm gonna tell you right now. You know what I mean? Not to really like downgrade the conversation or anything. Life is very short. Yeah. Have the fun that you're having, and that's what I focus on a daily basis. Yeah. You guys brought out about the whole competitiveness. I mean, like, we don't compete against each other, but we bring the best out of each other, the four of us. And this is what we do. This is what we do on a weekly basis. For the people that are in the chat, for the people that follow us, for the people that come to the tailgates, this is what we do. This is what we love to do. We love to give you guys a part of everything. You know what I mean? Keep your, you know, you guys close to us. And a lot of things can happen for people. So I'm just going with the flow, man. And I'm going to be one to tell you I'm very grateful for everything that's going on right now. So with that being said, that's my positive note leaving the show today. Live each day as it's going to be your last. That's it.
And I love to make Gail's life hell. So, like, I get a chance every Tuesday between 6 and 7 to come on this show and just bother the hell out of a dude that's become my big brother, man. I enjoy it, bro. Ain't no putting me in the bathroom. Hey, Hollywood, if he put me in the bathroom, bring me right back. You heard?
If he put you in the bathroom, I'm going to have to kick you out, bro. That's what I'm fucking
saying. They already choosing sides. Damn it.
You go in one door and out the other.
I don't got much else to say other than that I'm excited for what's happening with this team. I mean, I made the whole point earlier where I was, you know, I jokingly brought up the Deshaun Watson stuff earlier, but like in reality, I like what happened this offseason. I like the risks that we took and the risks that we didn't take. I think Howie Roseman did a hell of a job this offseason, and like I've been saying ever since, you know, this last season ended, if Jalen Hurts can show improvement this year, there's no doubt in my mind we could be in the playoffs. So absolutely. I'm all with it.
Absolutely.
Interesting. No, I feel the same way. I mean, I just like I'm excited, man. Like it's taken a while for us to see the evolution of this roster. We saw the old Sproles, the Jason Peters of the world. You know, Carson Wentz, like we shed, you know, the snake skin sheds their skin. And then all of a sudden they got this new skin, like we're, and this is young, new skin. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like
that good skin right here.
It's just weird to, I thought it would take longer to get back to where I think we might be. So I thought it would take a little, hey, if we get, yeah. Sky's the limit. But talking about the quarterback position was very interesting. We got some thoughts out. We're going to move on to the running back position maybe sooner than later, because there's a lot of positions and camp is starting soon. A lot of dudes. A lot of dudes.
He's 2-a-days.
Yeah, 2-a-days. We might be back at it in a couple hours. No, I'm just kidding. Prime's got to eat. but also life is short and everything. I just want to give a shout out to Jay Gleckner. His father passed away this week. Big shout out to you and your family. We're all thinking about you. And that is, it's important, man, to take care of your family. And that's all for us today. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.